Good afternoon. I call the meeting of the Environment and Natural Resources Finance and Policy Committee meeting to order. A quorum is present. Representative Gilman, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes, I have, Chair.
Would you like to move the minutes, please?
So moved.
Representative Gilman moves the approval of the minutes for April 3rd, 2025. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails and the minutes are approved. Good afternoon, everyone. We are going to be taking up our main bill today, which will be House File 2439. This is being presented by Co-Chair Heintzman. Chair Heintzman, if you'd like to go ahead and make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 2439 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, and I have an amendment.
All right. Very good. Why don't you go ahead with your amendment, Chair Heintzman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I would move the DE1 amendment to get the bill into the shape of the agreement that Co-Chair Fisher and I have made. I would move the DE1.
Okay, the DE1 is before us. All those in favor of adopting the DE1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion prevails. We have the bill in front of us with the DE1 amendment as adopted. Are there any initial comments that you'd like to make, Chair Heintzman, or would you like the staff to walk through it first?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple brief comments I'll make before we move on to the walkthrough. I'll just point out to those here today and those watching that House File 2439, this is a bare bones budget, and I expect it'll give us the opportunity to get to the next step in the process. I would have liked to have endless time to work through and to negotiate every detail, but this is the starting point for us, and if we can move from here on to that process, I think that we'll have some good opportunities and we'll find the common ground that we need to find to get the agreement necessary. And with that, I will ask Nonpartisan to go through the spreadsheet and the bill.
We will start off then with Brad Hagemeyer. If you'd like to go ahead and start walking through the financial analysis, please.
Sure. Mr. Chair, I'm going to be working off the spreadsheet. I believe there's two spreadsheets in people's packets. This is the short one that's 6 pages long. The other one is 26. It's date stamp 4-8-2025 at 12:59 p.m. And then looking at the spreadsheet, the first is all fund totals. The first page is all fund totals. And then the first column that has numbers in it is the 24-25 biennium. And then the middle of the page is the 26 and 7 biennium, and I'll focus on that. And then the last set of columns is the tails biennium. I'm going to focus on the middle set of columns. The committee had a minus $10 million target. If you look at line 22, the general fund funding in this bill is $435,907,000. That's $10 million over, or that's the base amount, but that's $10 million over the target. And then the target is reached on lines 8, 12, and 19. You'll see reductions to 2023 appropriations for the local climate action grants is being reduced by $3 million. Enhanced grasslands and restoring wetlands and WMAs for carbon capture and resiliency is being reduced by $5 million. And then the climate private land slash working land restoration easements is being reduced by $2 million. So in total, there's $10 million of reductions to offset the $10 million in the target. And then the only other things I'll point on the first page, line 38, the total direct appropriations from all funds is just under $1.15 billion. And then the total on line 59, the total spending of all funds, including the statutory and open for the agencies within the community jurisdiction, is $2.28 billion. Going to the next page, I'm not going to go through the totals for each agency, but I will point out just a couple of changes that are included. On line 105 for the Pollution Control Agency, you'll see the air appropriation increase from the Environmental Fund to keep them in compliance with state and federal law for the air permitting program. And then on line 121, you'll see a cliff continuing appropriation. The governor had recommended an open appropriation out of the fund. This bill just includes a four-year extension that has a $4.5 million per year cap out of the fund. And then on line 132, you'll see the associated revenues for the air appropriation increase. And then that is it for spending changes. And if you go to the very last page, on line 311, 312, there's just a transfer that needs to happen between the Environmental and Remediation Fund in order to make the funding work for the Pollution Control Agency. And line 313 through 316 are two governor's recommendations that amend a previous 2023 appropriation in order to make these transfer instead of a direct appropriation on the general fund in order to operate them out of the environmental fund where those programs currently operate. And I believe that is all for the change items in the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Hagmeier. Next, we will go to Ms. Taylor for the Article 2.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm going to go through Article 2. It's the last page of the DE fund amendment. And there's just one section, and Mr. Hagemeyer had mentioned this previously, but this is just the section that would extend by 4 years a provision that appropriated money from the closed landfill investment fund.
Okay, very good. Thank you for the presentation. Members, are there any questions on the bill before us at the moment? Not seeing any. We've got a number of testifiers, so we will start with the people who are here to testify. First person I have on the list is Commissioner Sarah Stroman, if you'd like to come forward, and then after that will be Commissioner Katina Kessler. Welcome to the committee, Commissioner, if you'd like to introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Co-Chair Heinzman committee members. I'm Sarah Stroman. I'm the commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. We'd like to thank both Co-Chair Heinzman and Co-Chair Fisher, as well as the committee, for your work on the Omnibus Environment and Natural Resources Bill. I'm especially happy to be here today to testify on this bill. Today, in this committee, we just heard we're talking about spreadsheets, we're talking about appropriation lines in a bill. I just came from St. Cloud, where I spent the morning with DNR staff, and we were talking about the work that these lines in the spreadsheet and bill represent. And specifically, today we are highlighting some work around our aquatic invasive species prevention work and groundwater protection work. So a very timely discussion yesterday, or this morning, and I bring that life of the work that our staff do with me here as I speak to this bill. So thank you for the opportunity. We do understand that this bill continues DNR's existing budget into fiscal year 26-27, largely untouched, and does not include any of the governor's budget recommendations. I do want to state that without the governor's proposed operating adjustment, Minnesotans will experience service erosion in the coming years. Keeping pace with inflation is essential to continue park operations, forest management, conservation work across our natural resources, as well as timely permitting processes in the face of rising costs. The bill also does not include water use fee increases as proposed or the aquatic invasive species or AIS surcharge increases. These water fee increases are needed to improve DNR's permitting responsiveness, ultimately contributing to the sustainable use of the state's groundwater, and the AIS surcharges are essential to protecting our lakes, rivers, streams from the harm of aquatic invasives. The water use fees have not been increased since 2008, and the AIS surcharge was last increased in 2019 for the first time in 25 years, but this was a smaller increase than we had requested and did not provide for the additional program capacity and grant funding that the proposal contained in the governor's budget would. Furthermore, as we testified previously, state park permit fee increases are necessary to keep pace with rising costs. And without this additional revenue, the DNR will be forced to make publicly visible reductions to state park services. Combined with the lack of an operating adjustment, these cuts may include reduced upkeep and cleaning of campgrounds and visitor centers in our state parks, as well as reduced camping seasons, park customer service hours in the fall, spring, and winter seasons. The park permit fees were last increased in 2018. The bill omits funding for our legal costs, which will force these costs to be paid from programs and services in areas within the agency that are already stretched by general fund pressures. The bill does not include funding for public safety preparedness that is necessary for our conservation officers to be available for general public safety deployments and protection of state assets. Finally, it is disappointing that the committee was not able to agree on bipartisan, non-controversial policy provisions such as the lands bill and the continuous bass season. So we do hope to work with the committee further to get these provisions added to the bill. Mr. Chair, Co-Chair Heinzman, again, we do appreciate the work on this bill. We look forward to working with you and the committee as the bill moves towards finalization. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Next, I have Commissioner Kessler from the MPCA. Welcome, Commissioner. Thank you for being here. If you could go ahead and introduce yourself and begin your testimony, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Co-Chair Fisher and Heinzman and members of the committee for the opportunity to be here. For the record, I'm Katrina Kessler, Commissioner of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. I, too, want to thank the committee for the keeping the lights on bill that represents the Environment and Natural Omnibus Bill. And, you know, want to echo things you've heard Commissioner Stroman say. It is key that we have funding for ongoing staff and core work to protect the environment and human health, including issuing permits, monitoring pollution, and cleaning up contamination. I appreciate the committee's judicious approach to distributing the funding cuts in recognition of a difficult budget forecast facing the committee and the state. I really hope we can continue conversations on how to and where to achieve cuts in order to maintain those core services and deliver on our shared priorities. The governor's revised budget recommendations fund important and necessary work for the state, including the cost for the critical staff that provide the services every day to the work for the citizens of Minnesota. And I want to think about ways we can work together on adding additional room for discussion related to keeping these critical funds in place. You know, when we think about things like new ideas for engagement or working with tribes or reforming our permitting processes, we're also being asked to move quickly and continue to deliver on core services. So I think there's room for creativity here, and I look forward to continued conversations with the committee about a mix of funding and policy proposals that can accomplish what I think we are all trying to do together and to meet the expectations that Minnesotans have for us. So I'm grateful to you, Co-Chair Fisher and Heinzman, and members of the committee and staff alike for engaging with the administration and a continued productive and collegial process as we work through the final weeks of the session. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Commissioner. Next up, I have Director John Jasky from the Board of Water and Soil. Welcome to the committee, Director. Thank you for being here. Please take the time to introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Co-Chair Heinzman and members. I'm John Jasky, Executive Director with the Minnesota Board of Water and Soil Resources. On behalf of our agency, thank you for the opportunity to provide comments on the House file in front of you as amended. As you know, in previous testimony, of course, we explained many of our programs and the partnerships that we use to carry out those programs with other partners, federal agencies, tribal governments, local governments, private landowners, and private sector contractors as well. We appreciate the committee's difficult job in front of you to budget for our state's environmental priorities over the next biennium, and we look forward to working with you in the weeks ahead on a couple of specific things in the budget, one being, as was mentioned earlier, the omission of an operating increase for our agency and others. As we know, those costs have increased, and we can give you more details on that at some point if you're interested. We also note that the removal of previously appropriated funds for the grassland easements will diminish our leveraging opportunity for federal funding via a new Conservation Reserve Enhancement or CREP agreement that we recently signed just late last year. Again, members, thank you for the opportunity to testify this afternoon, and we look forward to working with you in the weeks ahead on both those budget and policy items.
Thank you, Director Jasky. Next, I have Director Brawley from the Minnesota Zoo. Thanks for taking the time to be here. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
John Frawley, Director of the Minnesota Zoo. Mr. Chair, Co-Chair Heinzman, committee members, thank you for the committee to allow us time to present, and we are grateful for all the work that you have done, so thank you. The Minnesota Zoo is a top destination in Minnesota, serving over 1.5 million visitors. We are a unique state agency. We're a small state agency, which only receives 37% of our funding from the state. We are a 24/7 operation, 365 days a year, hosting over 5,000 animals. The current appropriation with the last 2 years of enhanced benefits and inflation and without an increase in state support, the Minnesota Zoo would be facing up to about a $7 million shortfall. The impact of this would prevent us from maintaining our current levels of operation and forcing us to consider reductions in staffing, most likely increased admissions, increases in zoo camps and field trips. We are most likely going to have to look at reduced zoo operational hours, closing some exhibits, fewer community events, and fewer access programs. So significant impact to the Minnesota Zoo. These types of changes would decrease our attendance and our earned revenue. And remember, we only get one-third of our funding from the state, so two-thirds we have to raise by creating earned revenue and attendance. So these types of changes would go against us driving that attendance, requiring us to look for more money from the state. So with that, co-chairs, committee members, staff, thank you again for all the hard work that you do. Also, thank you for the time you give us outside of committee. I've met with a lot of you, and you're very generous with your time to learn about the zoo, so I appreciate that. We will continue to work with leadership through the end of the session and hopefully find a budget that maintains this beloved state asset.
Thank you. Next on the list testifiers, I have Executive Director Barras, and I apologize for mispronouncing your name, from the Metropolitan Council. If you'd like to introduce yourself and begin your testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Co-Chair Heinzman, I'm Lisa Barajas. I'm the Executive Director of the Community Development at the Metropolitan Council, where we are responsible for planning and funding the Metropolitan Regional Parks and Trails System. So thank you for the opportunity today to speak to you and share our gratitude for inclusion of the Governor's budget recommendation of $2.54 million in general fund and $8.95 million from the Natural Resources Fund to the Metropolitan Council for Operations and Maintenance of the Regional Parks and Trails System. Every dollar allocated to the council is passed through to the 10 regional parks and trails implementing agencies who own and operate the regional system. We appreciate the investment in the regional system, which which continues to grow visitation over the last many years, having had more than 69 million visits in 2023. Again, we thank you for this investment in access to the outdoors and maintaining a well-loved system in the region that's in the backyards of more than 3 million Minnesotans and their homes. Thank you again.
Thank you. Next on the list, I have Jeff Anderson from ATV Minnesota. Welcome to the committee, sir. Thank you for taking the time to be here. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Chair Fisher, Chair Heinzman, and members of the committee. My name is Jeff Anderson, and I represent ATV Minnesota, a statewide organization dedicated to advancing responsible ATV recreation and supporting the growth and sustainability of Minnesota's trail systems. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I want to begin by expressing our disappointment that key ATV-related bills, specifically House File 281 and House File 279, were not included in the Omnibus Environment and Natural Resources Bill. These two bills are bipartisan, supported by a broad coalition of legislators. They draw funding from the ATV dedicated account, a long-established fund created by the legislature in 1984 and supported by ATV registration fees and a portion of the unrefunded gas tax from ATV use. By statute, this account is strictly dedicated to trail acquisition, development, maintenance, and enforcement. Appropriations from this fund are not just appropriate, they're routine. Yet this year, these reasonable appropriations were excluded from the omnibus bill. The omission of these funds jeopardizes essential trail development and critical maintenance efforts. These trails aren't proposed without extensive planning. They undergo thorough environmental reviews in coordination with the DNR, U.S. Forest Service, tribal governments, counties, and local municipalities. Our commitment to sustainability is serious, and our trails reflect that. We're also disappointed that other ATV-related bills, which were heard and vetted by this committee, were also left out of the final bill. These are missed opportunities to support outdoor recreation, rural economies, and local governments. ATV trails are not only a recreational asset, they are an economic engine. In rural Minnesota, particularly northeastern Minnesota, local businesses depend on trail tourism. We urge the committee to reconsider these omissions. These appropriations are common, expected, and essential to meet both the legislative intent of the ATV dedicated account and the needs of our members across Minnesota. Thank you for your time and for your commitment to our shared outdoor spaces.
Thank you. Next I have on the list is Tanner Fritzinger from MAPE. If you'd like to please come forward and begin your testimony, introduce yourself, begin your testimony, and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Heintzman and Chair Fisher and members of the committee. My name is Tanner Fritzinger, and I'm a political affairs coordinator with the Minnesota Association of Professional Employees. We are a union representing roughly 19,000 members of working in public service across all state agencies, boards, and commissions. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on House File 2439. First, I want to acknowledge the difficulties that come with drafting a budget during a time of fiscal uncertainty. Attempting to address an incoming deficit requires difficult conversations and choices that will impact our state. However, we strongly oppose this bill, which provides no operating adjustments for agencies. MAPE members working at the Pollution Control Agency, the Department of Natural Resources, the Minnesota Zoo, and the Board of Water and Soil Resources require the necessary operating adjustments to ensure that they can continue to adequately and properly do their jobs. Lack of operating adjustments will result in layoffs and significant reductions in public services, including delays in permitting, licensing, and enforcement. What this bill seems to do is disproportionately balance the negative budget target on the backs of state employees. We implore you to reconsider these allocations and continue to fund these important services and agencies. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify and voice our concern with House File 2439.
Thank you for coming forward. Next, I have Kent Aiken from AFSCME, Council 5. Thank you for taking the time to be here. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Great. Thank you, Chairs Fisher and Heintzman and members. My name is Kent Eakin. I am a political director for AFSCME Council 5, which is a public and private employee union representing 43,000 workers across the state. We do appreciate the time and energy that you have put into, that you have committed to putting this bill together and the fiscal challenges that you're facing this session. We understand the stress of not knowing what the impact of federal funding cuts and policies and what impact that will have on the next budget, which adds to those pressures. Our members, along with other Minnesotans, are also dealing with these uncertainties and the stress it creates. But the work of this state still needs to get done. Our members are providing important services, services that the people of Minnesota expect and deserve. From tree nurseries to state parks and trails to the Minnesota Zoo to fish hatcheries to clean water, these services preserve, protect, and enhance the wonderful natural resources we all enjoy. These natural resources are what make Minnesota second to none when it comes to our quality of life. Minnesotans have demonstrated again and again the high priority they place on these resources, not only for our generation, but for generations to come. We have concerns about this bill because it falls far short of the governor's recommendations on operations for the agencies responsible for providing these valuable services. And this shortfall will result in a real erosion of services. This bill falls short of the governor's recommendations by $12.1 million for the PCA, $16.8 million for the DNR, and $1 million short for the Minnesota Zoo. We urge you to reconsider funding levels in these areas to align with the recommendations made by the governor. Please protect the funding necessary to continue Minnesota's environmental legacy. And this is not a partisan issue. Protecting these precious resources benefits all Minnesotans. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, I have Aurora Vautrin. With 100%, if you'd like to come forward, thank you for being here. Please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Chair Fisher, Chair Heisman, members of the committee, my name is Aurora Vautrin, and I'm the legislative director for 100%. Thank you for the opportunity to weigh in today on HF 2439 as amended. We oppose cutting $3 million from the Resilient Community Assistance Program at the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. This program is focused on supporting local and tribal governments in planning and implementing climate resiliency and water infrastructure improvements that will help their communities prepare for a changing climate. This planning is a real need. These investments have already made tangible improvements in the lives of Minnesotans, and the demand for these grants is growing. Since 2022, this program has awarded dozens of grants to local governments across the state. They've been used to make roads safer, property more secure, and energy systems more efficient. These investments are making future extreme weather impacts more manageable and less expensive for everyone. Please restore this funding for this in-demand program that supports communities statewide. Thank you for your time and consideration.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking the time to be here today. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify for or against the bill? Not seeing any. We will close testimony at this point. Are there any questions or comments by anyone on the committee? Not seeing any, I will then make a couple of comments and then refer to Chair Heintzman. I want to say thank you, everyone, for the input and everything we've had over the last session here, as we've heard a lot of bills. We also had a very challenging environment target that we had here. We had a $10 million cut, and then in the tails, we had zero. It makes it very tough to do much in terms of meeting the needs going forward. We do know that there's inflation out there. And I think Chair Heintzman agrees with me on this. This is just the starting point. This is not the end all be all. We appreciate hearing the testimony from the people that are involved. We know that discussions will continue as we go forward. We also recognize that we are in a time where there is not a lot of money. We've got cuts that we're going to have to look at as we're going forward, how to make sure that we're keeping things sustainable while making sure we're protecting our investments out there. These are not easy discussions, and I want to say thank you for the discussions I've had with Chair Heintzman over the last couple of weeks as we figure out how to navigate and how to put our bill together, and appreciate the input I've had from people from all sides. These are never easy when you're in times of very tight money. It's something that I think we're going to be wrestling with for a while going forward, but I'm looking forward to continued discussions. And with that, I'll turn it over to Chair Heintzman.
Thank you, Chair Fisher, and I will echo much of those comments in my closing. 2 years ago, we were looking at a very significant target. I think it was over $700 million. And unfortunately, last year, we saw that we were likely, and now it is coming to fruition, a $6 billion deficit. And that is incredibly challenging for us to have to come together and try to figure out what is the opportunity and what are the challenges that have to be overcome. And Chair Fisher, you've been a great partner in working to try to get us to a point that we can work towards further agreement. And I do hope that we can see some adjustments that include many of the things that were discussed and brought out in today's discussion. I think it's important as we're wrapping for this committee to make sure that we cover some thanks and express some gratitude to the key people that keep this committee going. Anything that is good that has happened in this committee, I think that we can make sure and give credit to our nonpartisan staff. Janelle Taylor, thank you. Brad Hagemeyer, I sincerely appreciate the work that both of you have committed to this committee's success. Our committee pages, I want to make sure I recognize them, Riley and Harry. And then our DFL staff, although Mr. Strohmeyer isn't here today, Mr. Brown, you're going to have to take our thanks back to Mr. Strohmeyer and tell much we appreciate that. And, of course, Amy Zipko has been tremendous, and your experience is so much appreciated. I'm also going to mention our GOP committee.
Help me out. Assistant.
Assistant. Mr. Yeh, thank you very much. And Aaron, you've been great. I'll leave a couple of members to you, Chair Fisher, to finish up. But again, much thanks to all those that are here and supporting our effort. Would you like me to make the motion, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Chair Heinzman, if you'd like to go ahead and make the motion, then I'll make my final acknowledgments after we're done with the bill.
All right, I'll do that. I'll renew the motion that House File 2439, as amended, be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means and instruct staff to make technical corrections as necessary.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Motion is approved, and House File 2439, as amended, will be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee with the direction that nonpartisan staff make any technical corrections to confirm with the actions and intent of the committee. With that, we are done with the bill. I'd like to also acknowledge the pages that we had today, Riley and Harry, who've been with us over the time here. Thank you so much for keeping us going on a day-to-day basis. I'd like to thank Jared Margolis, our committee legislative assistant here, and thank everybody for being involved in the process. And as of right now, we do not have any other meetings planned. This is our last regularly scheduled meeting. If there are any future meetings, that will be done by the call of the co-chairs. And with that, we are adjourned.